we ought to have church today.
Hey, good morning. We are in Romans today, and I want to read to you out of Romans 8. We're going to be Romans 1. We're going to be wrapping up the chapter of Romans today. So Romans 1, starting in verse 21. Actually, 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Father, we give you praise for Jesus, and we know, Lord, that you are our Heavenly Father, and you desire all people to know your Son, and you place that in creation. And so, Lord, we are without excuse when it comes to who you are and your power and your divine nature. And so, God, help us as people to know this every single day, that when we wake up and get to engage your world, you're there and we can see you in it. And so, Lord, help us to repent to that mindset. Encourage our hearts, Lord, to sing to you. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
Hey, good morning. Let's stand as we sing. We are created to glorify our Father. That is why we are even here, to breathe his air. So let's stand as we sing, Glorify Thy Name. Be seated. We're going to go now to Blessed Assurance. And you're going to notice the word submission a couple of different times as we go through here. And Jeff was talking about excuses earlier here. We're going to hear more about excuses in the sermon. And we're going to, in context, we're going to hear about submission in the sermon. But blessed assurance comes to us when we do all of these things.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture. exhibition. All is at rest. I and my Savior am happy at last, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story.
Before we go to communion, we're going to sing, actually we've got two more songs before communion, but one of the things that you're going to be charged with today during the sermon is to maybe think things through differently, and that might be cause to have your heart changed. So we're going to sing, Change My Heart, O God. We're going to ask Him to mold me and make me like Him. Father God, I pray that for the hearts of everyone that's going to hear the sermon today, I pray that they take it in and listen to it and know that you are coming through Jeff with our best interest at heart. It's not an easy subject matter. It's not a clean and tidy subject matter. So I just pray that our hearts are open and moldable to hear what we are going to be taught today. Thank you, Father, for being with us. Thank you for the promise of salvation when we are buried with you through baptism, that we rise. That we rise up new and whole in you. And we have access to heaven because of you. Thank you so much, Father, for your love and care of us and for telling us the truth. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Baptized in water, sealed by the Spirit. be seated as the men come forward for communion.
I'd like to start to talk about an experience I had a couple weeks ago that involved a 40-year-old and a 1-year-old. So we had a funeral this day, and I came and got the boys from my wife and took them home. Well, I'm tired, and Jackson's like, can we go play upstairs? And they had been playing upstairs for a while, and I'm like, that's fine, go ahead. And so I get changed out of my uniform, everything, and I'm sitting there, and I keep smelling this scent. And I know, I recognize the scent, I just can't put a name to it. It's like a citrusy smell. I'm like, okay, so I didn't do anything. I let him play up there for probably 30 minutes. And then I see Dean on the landing, he's sitting there looking at me. So I walk over to him, I'm sitting there talking to him. I'm like, why's your hair greasy? And so I touched his hair, and it's that same scent. And so as I go up the stairs, I see little puddles and puddles and puddles all the way up the stairs and along the floor and in the walls. And I get to, if you go up the stairs in my house, if you go to the left, there's the two boys' rooms. If you go to the right, there's my room, a bathroom, and another room. Well, I went right because our bedroom door was open, which is unheard of because we always shut it when we leave the room. And there's this empty bottle of glow. It's the liquid-based kind, not the oil-based kind, so it didn't stick. But if you don't know what glow is, it's to polish, like, frames or, like, window seals or stuff like that. This was a full bottle, I know, but it was empty. And so I find Jackson. I'm like, where'd you find the bottle? Well, it was up here. I'm like, yeah, I know it was up here. And I'm like, why'd you empty it out? Well, it was a spray bottle, so I was just spraying it. And he's covered in it, too. And I'm like, go get some paper towels so we can clean this up. And so I could have been mad, and I was slightly mad. I'll say that right now. But I cleaned it up, and I got to thinking that I had told my boys, yes, that you can come upstairs and play, but that's it. I hadn't given them any boundaries or guidelines to it. And so I set Jackson down, and Dean, whether he listened or not, I mean, it is what it is. But anyway, I set Jackson down, and I said, okay, I don't have a problem with you guys playing upstairs. You can do that. That's fine. But I want you to stay in your room and Dean's room. That's it. Don't go in Mommy's room. Don't go in the bathroom unless you have to go to the bathroom. That's it. He said, okay, Dad. And so I can relate this in sense to sin. Sure, my 4-year-old and my 1-year-old thought they were having a grand old time upstairs playing with a bottle of glow, but I didn't because I had to clean it up for one. However, I also understand that they're 4 and 1. And I also understand that they're going to make mistakes. I don't know anybody in this room that won't make a mistake. So the passage that I went to is in Romans 3, starting in 19. And it says, now we know that whatever the law says is says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world be held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we can become conscientious of our sin. Jackson and Dean didn't know that they couldn't go in their mom and mine's room and go in the bathroom. I hadn't told them yet. They're now aware of it, so now I'm going to be holding them accountable. Surely we're all at an age here we can understand what sin is. So we have to be held accountable. But if you continue to read here, but now apart from the law, the righteous of God have been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ, you all believe. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I think that's all of us. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. If I could pick one thing that I truly appreciate, I can't pick just one thing, but this thing sticks out to me and has stuck out to me in the last ever, is grace. Because I know I've messed up. I know I will mess up. And I know that if I go to God and say, I'm sorry. I know I've done this. I shouldn't have done it. Will you please forgive me? He's always there to do it. I don't know many parents that I know me as a parent, I try to give grace, but it comes along with a little bit of punishment too at times. I think God's the same way. I'm going to put you through this, but I'm still going to show you grace. You're still going strong. You're still alive. You're still able to do my work. And all I can tell you is that a 4 and 1 year old now has a concept of what they're supposed to do, and if they don't do it, they know what's going to happen. However, if that 4 and 1 year old were to come to me and say, I'm sorry, Daddy, will you please forgive me? I feel it's my duty to forgive them and move on. I don't think about it again, and neither does God. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I truly thank you for everything you've done for us. All the blessings you've given us, everything, Lord. Thank you for your tremendous amount of grace, because without it, we'd be lost. We wouldn't have anything. We thank you in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you.
is our first week of the month of February and our first Sunday of the month. We've been doing prayer time. And so during our Sunday school time today, you're going to see someone hold up a sheet of paper in the pew, someone sheet of paper around you. We're doing our February prayer calendars today and our prayer time today. Yep, Amber's got one. So if you would be so inclined, please be encouraged to stick behind worship time today for our prayer time after church. But I call upon several people to pray during this time, and I'm really encouraged by our people that are willing to pray. And so having said that, I had a couple people that wasn't comfortable praying today, but I did lasso two people and a little girl into praying today. And so at some point, you may be lassoed as well, but if you're not comfortable doing it, just tell me, nope, Jeff, I'm not comfortable doing it. But I want you to know that when you pray, you're not only blessing those of us around you, but you're actually blessing people online. I have people online who tell me, I really like that prayer, or can they get the mic to work better because I can't quite hear. And so you're very encouraging. And I think probably the person encouraged the most by our prayer to him is who? That's our Father. He's very encouraged by your voice. So I've asked the Hardy family to pray with us today. So if you guys want to come up here and be encouraged to pray. I've asked Jacob to pray over the farmers of our land. I've asked Molly to pray over the children of our world. And I've asked Molly to help Paisley to pray that that people would come to know Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. Thank you for all the blessings you have given us. Lord, forgive us where we have not done right. We pray that you will provide us with sufficient rain where it is needed this year, and patience and guidance to have a better relationship with you. And thank you again for blessing us and keeping us safe. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
I am reading about children and specifically their future, since the present time has been challenging and unknown. I'm going to read a couple verses. Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And then I'm going to read Jeremiah 29:11-13. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Let's pray. Dear Lord, please be with our children as they take every step towards the future. Keep them concrete in their beliefs. Please don't let anything or anyone stand in between you and their hearts. Let their wisdom lead them to you always, and put their strength in their minds to resist temptations that might lead them astray. Give them humility and mercy. In your name I pray. Amen.
The people get closer to Jesus. The people love Jesus.
Amen.
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 To do that, because remember, we learned last week, your faith is not just about you. Your faith's about the people around you as well. And so people are very encouraged when they hear your voice praying to our Heavenly Father. It's just one of the most encouraging things
that we can do. Have you ever made an excuse before? Have you ever made an excuse? I mean, seriously, have you made an excuse before about what you're not doing or what you're supposed to do? I mean, I think we've all can relate to that. Have you ever made an excuse for what you did, what you did? This is the reason I did it. And you made excuses. You know, I used to be an employer years ago for a group of people, and I heard lots of excuses for people not coming to work. I thought I would share with you some of the most unique reasons that people have said they're not going to work today. Okay, so just bear with me. Maybe you've used some of these. I just want to read those to you. Okay, here we go. Number one, my llama won't stop barfing. Grandma tried to poison me again. I ate cat food instead of tuna, and I am deathly ill. I am stuck in the blood pressure machine at the grocery store and cannot get out. I broke my arm reaching to grab a falling sandwich. My fortune teller had asked me not to step out of the house or I would suffer a brain hemorrhage. I can't come to work today because I accidentally got on a plane. I can't come to work today because I am an uncle and a pallbearer to my wife's cousin's pet. Someone has glued my doors and windows shut, and I cannot leave the house to come to work. My false teeth flew out the window while driving down the highway. The ozone in the air flattened my tires, and I cannot get to work. I forgot I had been hired for this job. I was bitten by a duck. Here's a good, this group of people ought to appreciate this. A cow broke into my house and I am waiting for the insurance man. The sunrise was so beautiful, I had to stop and take it in. Now this is my favorite one. Here's my favorite one. Here it is. I woke up in a good mood and didn't want to ruin it by coming to work. I can relate to excuses. I don't know about you, but I can relate to excuses. We've all had excuses for something we've done or about to do or will not do. Everyone has made an excuse for something. And Jason was on to something and said we all have sinned. And Paul says something in Romans chapter 1, look at verse 20. Paul says something here that's quite profound. Paul says this in verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without what? We're without excuse. And Paul's telling us that. Paul is definitively telling us that God in his invisible attributes or qualities has been clearly seen since the creation of the world. That's where God put himself in the creation of the world. And Paul specifically says that God's eternal power and God's divine nature are clearly seen in the creation around us. You may notice sometimes on our worship sets that I know what Deb's doing. She's choring. She takes a picture and puts it on the screen. You know why? Because she sees God creation, God in his creation. And so Paul is holding our feet to the fire of this reality. He's holding our feet to the fire of the reality that we are without excuse when we do not have a relationship with God. He's holding our feet to the fire in that regard. And so I want to share with you something. There is a way that you look. There's a way that you and I look. It looks like this. And what does life look like? What does life look like that wants to make excuses for not having a relationship with our Heavenly Father? What does that life look like? I think it's valuable for us to do that. And so we're wrapping up Romans 1 today. And Paul gives us a graphic illustration of what it means to live a life that does not desire a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And again, the premise is that when you and I do not have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, it's because we're making excuses. That's what we're doing. We're making excuses. And Paul, he's telling us that people who make excuses or justify their lack of relationship with our Heavenly Father have specific traits marking their life. And as we go through this today, you may see some specific traits in your life. And so this is what we do. We do it Scripture. We open up the Bible, and sometimes Scripture is an absolute mirror. We look at ourselves in the mirror of Scripture, and we evaluate what our life looks like according to Scripture, and then we repent as needed, or we say, I'm going to continue doing that because I have that particular trait in my life that God wants me to have. And so from these traits, we're going to see something. We're going to see if you have a lack of a relationship with our Father today, you're going to see that where maybe you've made excuses or justifications for not continuing in a more deeper level with our Heavenly Father. And so number one is this, if you look on your sermon outline, here it is. People who make excuses for their ungodly behavior suppress God's truth. Suppress God's truth. Look in Romans 1, starting in verse 18 and 19. It says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. Now, think about this with me. When you and I make excuses or justifications for why what we do, don't do, or how come we did what we did, who are we primarily thinking of? We're thinking of ourselves. That's what we're doing, okay? And we've all made these type of decisions before, these type of excuses or justifications. And as we think about them, those actions are what I would call self-centered. They're self-centered actions. And when we have actions that are self-centered, God is excluded from those actions. And then those actions no longer are godly. They are what? Ungodly. Okay? Paul refers to the NIV as godlessness. And actions that are ungodly leads to a lifestyle of godlessness. Now look, when you refuse to let God control all your life, you are being a godless person. When you refuse to let God control all of your life, you're actually finding yourself in a position of godlessness. And some might say, well, but wait a minute, I have a desire to have God mostly in my life. There are just some areas I really don't want God there. Well, think about this thought concept. If God is not in charge of all your life, how much of your life is God really controlling? None of it. If you're allowing only God in part of your life, but not all of your life, then you're going to find yourself in a position where God is actually not controlling any of your life. And let's just be frank here. If you are a follower of Christ, you want God to control how much of your life? All of it. That's the bar, if you will, that God sets for our lives. And so some translations use this term unrighteousness. And so a godless person, if you will, is now what we will call a wicked person. A wicked person is a person not right with God. That is, they're unrighteous, not right with God. And some translations use the term unrighteousness in place of wickedness. And so a wicked person and a person not right with God are the same person. We're not right with God, meaning we are wicked. And so when you make an excuse, now look at verse 18. When you make an excuse for your godless behavior, and you make an excuse for behavior that's not right with God, what is going to be revealed against you? What's it say in verse 18? God's what? Wrath. You know, it really struck fear in me when my mother said, wait till your dad gets home. Because my dad didn't have any, matter of fact, when my mom swatted me, I usually laughed. But when my dad swatted me, I did not laugh. My dad's wrath was way more than my mother's. And so if as a child, I'm fearing the wrath of my dad, how much more should you and I as people of adult-wise thinking, fear the wrath of God? Very much so. And so think about this, friends. When you choose to continue behaviors that are ungodly, when you choose to continue behaviors that are ungodly and not right with God, you're not only suppressing the truth from yourself, but think about this. Remember, your faith is not your own. So as people observe your life suppressing God's truth from your life, guess what you're doing to other people? You're influencing them, and you're suppressing the truth in their life. It's not just about you. And so here's what you and I must come to choose and understand. And our point number one, again, is this, is that people make excuses for their ungodly behavior suppress God's truth. There's a cure for this, and here's the cure, okay? Here's the cure. Repent from godless and unrighteous behavior when? Today. Today's the day you do it, okay? There's some of you right here, right now, who are convicted because you're thinking, is he talking about me? And I'm not talking about you specifically, but someone must be. Because if you're thinking of something in your life right now that's godless and unrighteous, I don't know about it, but I know who does. It's time to repent from it. The second thing is this: accept the reality that if you do not repent, if you do not repent from godless and unrighteous behavior today, God's wrath will be revealed against you. If you're feeling conviction right now today over some behaviors in your life, and you know that that must be changed in your life and you're not changing it, the Holy Spirit's telling you right now, wait till your dad gets home. And that won't be good. It's time to change now while you still have opportunity. I also know this is true is this, is that stop denying the plain truth. Stop denying the plain truth that there are things in your life that are ungodly and unrighteous. All of us in this room are guilty of ungodly and unrighteous thoughts, behaviors, and actions. And all of us have the same responsibility, which is the what? Repent. Stop doing it. And maybe even help others see that as well by watching your life. Number 2 point today is this in our Romans passage. People make excuses, do not glorify God or give thanks to Him. People make excuses, do not glorify God or give thanks to Him. Look at verse 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the mortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Now, I find this is a curious statement. And maybe you found it to be true as you looked at this. That although these people knew God, they did not glorify God or give thanks to Him. Now, I find that's a curious statement. Because it's curious because though they live a lifestyle that doesn't glorify God or give thanks to God, they still know God exists. Now, I've said this before about people. I don't believe there are such a thing as atheists. And I'll tell you why. I don't think there's such a thing as atheists. Atheists say there is no God, correct? You heard that? Okay. If you truly were an atheist and said there is no God, you wouldn't need to talk about Him. There's no such thing as atheists. There's deniists. They deny the existence of God. And for you and I to realize this concept, listen to this. How do these people know that there is a God? How do they know that? They make excuses. Why make an excuse for something that doesn't exist? They know there's a God. That's why there has to be excuses. And so why make an excuse unless there's a truth that goes against the excuse? And so when you make an excuse that goes against the truth of God, you are confirming that you know there is a God. You're confirming that with your excuse. If there is no God, there'd be no reason for excuse. Now, two things happen. Two things happen when you and I make excuses about the truth of God. Two things happen. We just saw in the text. These people refuse to glorify God or what? What's the next one? What's it say there? Or give thanks to God. Okay? So let's focus on that first one there. Okay? So people make excuses, do not glorify God or give thanks to Him. Okay? There's something going on there. It says that their thinking is what kind of thinking? Futile. I'm curious, how many of you like to wake up in your day and say, I sure hope to think about nothing today. I sure hope my thoughts are a waste of time. Because if you think of synonyms for futile, what are some synonyms that come to mind? Useless, fruitless, pointless, vain. Those are all futile thoughts and thought processes. A person that does not glorify God or give thanks to God, their thinking is worthless or worthwhile? It's worthless. Their thinking is worthless. And Paul said in that verse 20 passage, he says their thinking became futile. Their thoughts are fruitless. However, this thing is just the opposite. If you choose to give glory to God and thank Him in your day, throughout your day, what kind of thinking do you have? You have fruitful thinking. You have productive thinking. If you've gotten to the end of your day and you've asked this question, have I done anything worthwhile today? Well, if you've given glory to God and given thanks to Him, what's the answer? I have. That's the best thing you could do any day of your life is to give glory to God and what else? And give thanks to Him. The other thing that comes to mind in this text is this: a person that refuses to glorify God or give thanks to God has a futile thinking. We talked about that one. And now this: a person that refuses to glorify God or give thanks to God has a foolish heart that is darkened. A foolish heart that is darkened. The Bible says, look at the text again, that when you have a foolish heart that is darkened, you believe you're actually a wise person. But in the text, it says you're really a what? You're a fool. Paul's making it very clear here that a person who has a foolish heart that is darkened will place more glory on the temporary than the eternal. Someone who has a foolish heart that is darkened will think more about the temporary than the eternal. In the eternal, God is immortal and unchanging. God is immortal and unchanging, which means he lives forever and cannot be changed by anything. How many things in your life will die? Everything. I mean, we were talking about it just before church started today, how much things change in our lives. And even this past month, past New Year, we've just seen so much loss in the lives of people around us. God never changes and God never dies. And a foolish heart, think about this, a foolish heart that has been darkened gives more honor to those things that don't live forever and can easily be changed. So think about this concept as you think about people who make excuses to not glorify God or give thanks to Him. Think about this. Evaluate your life. Seriously. Evaluate your life. This is why we come to church. You say, well, how come? This is why. You look at Scripture. You hear a message. You hear a song. And you evaluate your life. You go home with this evaluation. Who or what has the most time, glory, and honor in your life? Think about that. Who has the most time, glory, and honor in your life? Evaluate your life in that regard. Here's a second way to evaluate your life. Where are you most self-satisfied about your wisdom? In other words, where are you feeling the most smug about your life? If you have a smugness about your life that you're wise, guess what? You're likely a what? The Bible says in our text, you're likely a fool. You think you're wise, but you're really not. So if you think you're incredibly wisdom about a certain topic, you better evaluate that and see where you're placing emphasis wrongly. Evaluate your life. How much time do you devote to glorifying God and giving Him thanks? Well, what if there's something to give thanks about? Okay, are you breathing this morning? Did your mate brush your teeth today? I don't know yet, okay. But maybe when they do. What I'm trying to say is, it doesn't take long to look around, and you can give thanks to God for how many things? Oh, man. It doesn't take long to look around, and you can see that God deserves the glory where? In all things, He deserves the glory. And so you and I must come to the conclusion, I've got to be doing that every day, okay? Here's another thing to consider is this. Repent. Repent from useless thinking. You have useless thoughts. I have useless thoughts. We have that in common. And here's what I'm learning. I'm learning. I wish I would have learned a long time ago, but I'm not going back on wishes, because if wishes were fishes, we'd have some fried. I'm learning that, hey, you know what? That's a waste of time to think about. I'm going to stop thinking that and start doing what? Giving glory to God with a spirit of thankfulness. That's a waste of time for me to think about. God, I just give you praise for who you are. I'm so thankful that you saved me through Jesus Christ. The third thing we're seeing today is this. People who make excuses give in to their desires. People make excuses give in to their desires. Look in verses 24 through 27. God says this, therefore, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves a due penalty for their error. You know, it doesn't take long to watch television. I don't even watch regular television anymore, but I still see commercials at times when I do turn on the screen in the corner. We're bombarded by all sorts of things. Let me see if you can recognize these slogans, and you tell me what it comes from, okay? Just these slogans are out there. Let's just see if you recognize who made this slogan. I'm loving it. Who said it? McDonald's. That's exactly right. Here's the next one. Finger looking good. KFC. Yeah, there you go. Taste the rainbow. Skittles. First they're sour, then they're sweet. What is it? Yeah, Sour Patch Kids. That's exactly right. Okay. They're great. Kellogg's. Frosted Flakes. They're magically delicious. Lucky Charms. Those go great on vanilla ice cream, by the way. Here's another one. Have it your way. BK. You're exactly right. That's Norman's favorite place to eat, right, Darlene? Here we go. This will probably get you. Yo quiero Taco Bell. Taco Bell. That's exactly right. Here's the last one. Obey your thirst. It's Sprite. I got you stumped on that one, didn't I? Yeah, I don't have them very often. Look, as people, we're bombarded by all sorts of things. And those food slogans, guess what they're wanting you to do? Eat. You're exactly right, Jim. They want you to eat. They're wanting you to give in to your desires. I mean, how many times have you sat in Sheridan proper, wherever you live, but, you know, how many times have you sat in your house and going, you know what? I'm going to town, honey. What for? Get me a Blizzard. A Sonic drink. Because we're used to giving in to what? Our desires, okay? In everyday life, something as simple as food, we see the slogans cater us towards our desires. Now, we broached this earlier. Now, think about this. If someone is making excuses in their life not to have God in control every part of their life, guess whose desires they're focused on? Their own. They're focused on their own desires. And so if a person readily gives in to their desires, it will always lead to impurity. Look what the Bible says again. Okay, we're going back to the Bible again. There it is. All right. I'm looking at verse 24. God gave them over to their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. If you find yourself in a position where you're continually giving in to your own desires, at some point you are going to debase your body with sexual impurity. It's going to happen. Now remember, Jesus made no distinction. There's no difference between how you degrade your body mentally or physically. You don't have to have sex physically to make yourself impure. Matter of fact, Jesus says you're just as accountable for sexual impurity if you're doing it where? In your mind. That's what Jesus said. And so a lot of times, when I've seen this over the years, people routinely give in to their desires on a day-to-day basis, and eventually it's going to lead to some type of sexual impurity, either in their thought life or their physical life. Now look what else the scripture says. It says they exchange the truth about God for a what? For a lie. Some translations say the lie. And so let's talk about that for a moment. Men and women have bought the lie that the created is more important than the creator. They've bought that lie. We talked about that already in a previous point. Men and women have bought the lie that serving the desires of the created is more important than serving the desires of the creator. Men and women have bought the lie that worshiping the created is more fulfilling than worshiping the creator. Men and women have bought the lie that experiencing fleeting pleasure is more important than forever praising God. They've bought the lie. And when men and women give in to their desires regularly, they are following their lusts and passions. I've often hear people say, oh, I have a passion for this. To me, that throws red flags. Someone says, I got a passion for this. Okay, you may have a desire to do something, but let's understand the word passion. In the book of James, he has something that says, I want to read this together, okay? Let's read this. Each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Sometimes that word lust is also translated as passion. Now, Paul says this in his text. I'm going back to Romans 1 chapter. Okay? Look at verse 26. He says, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. As you continue to give in your lust, your passions, your desires, here's what happens. Paul says it gets to the point where it's even denigrated to the point that men and women have sexual relations with one another. Nowadays, we call that homosexuality. And I think you should know this as well. It's important to us to realize this, that just north of the border right now, they just passed a law that if someone says that homosexuality is a sin, they're going to 5 years of jail. That just passed in Canada. And so here's something I want to share with you. God has one plan for sexuality. One plan. It's between a man and a woman in the context of marriage. Anytime there's sexuality outside of that parameter that God has established in His Word, it's a sin. Now, you may not think it's true, but I think I know what I believe is true in the sense that I've observed this. And here's what I've observed. That sin, the path of sin, sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And sin will cost far more than you want to pay. I'm going to say that again. It's actually a gospel song. You're looking it up on YouTube. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. And there's another thing I want to add too. I've observed this. Sin will take you places you never thought you would go. Never thought you would go. That's what sin does. And this is what Paul is pointing out in that verse 26 passage. And I've seen it. I've seen it from my own personal experience in men and women alike. I've been the one on the front line with that person, and I've seen these people get given their desires. You can see it trending. You can see it trending in the lives of Christians. I've seen it. And because we have social media, you can see it on that too, but you can see it on TikTok, Snapchat, Facebook. You can just start seeing their behaviors, and then you start seeing them less and less involved in the church, the local church. And I've seen it where people just move completely away from scriptures altogether, and before I know it, I have seen multiple people year after year after year finally take themselves down sin's path in which they divulge into homosexual behavior. Now, you may be saying, but preacher, I'd never do that. That sounds gross to me. Well, how much of sin is gross to God? Because how much sin killed His Son? I hear Christians make comments that homosexual sin is so nasty. How about heterosexual sin without the context of marriage? That's the same thing. And so don't try and judge people based on their sinful behavior. How about we look to God's scriptures and say, you know what, I want to be, I like what Mary Jo said before church today, I'm trying to keep people above board here. That's what God's Word's wanting to do. God's Word is wanting to keep you above board, if you will. In other words, He wants to have you heaven bound to be with Him in eternity forever. And so if you're, again, say it just very clearly, if you're involved in sexual behavior in your mind or your body that's not in a marriage between a man and a woman, you're in sin. Men, by statistics, 1 in 3 of you today are involved in pornography. If you are one of those men today in this room, and women are getting just as bad anymore because the statistics are almost as high, just as high, stop it. Get that junk out of your brain. Get that junk out of your mind. Repent from it. Repent from it. Get it out of your mind because you're choosing to be a godless person when you cater to those things. And so as we contemplate the reality of men and women in our life and how God's designed our sexuality, it's time for us to come to the conclusion. I want to be above reproach with God, right with God. I'm going to repent to what He defines as sexual behavior between a man and woman in marriage. I do not want to be an impure person. So how do we do that? Well, we evaluate ourselves. We evaluate ourselves. And people who make excuses, give in to their desires, there's a cure. There's an absolute cure. Here's the cure. Here it is. Think about your time, money, and service. Who are you honoring the most, creation or creator? That'll tell you. Evaluate those things. Because I guarantee if I look at your debit card statement, that'll tell me where your priorities are. Or your checkbook statement, whatever. Look at your money, your service. Who are you honoring the most, creation or creator? Evaluate your life. What desires do you keep from those around you? Now, you may think you can be in church and no one else knows about what's going on behind closed doors. You're right, we don't. But this is what I know. You're a person, I'm a person. We've all done simple things, and where do we typically do them? In the dark, behind closed doors. Well, guess who knows what you're doing? The Lord does. Evaluate that. What do you think you're really hiding? Are you hiding? Nope, you're not hiding. You're known, completely known, all right? Stop committing sexual sin. There's no other way to say it. Just stop doing it. I found for me personally that if I'm not confessing sexual sin to someone in my life, then that sin's going to continue to have power over my life. Stop doing it. With your mind, your body, or you are going to face God's wrath. It says that in verse 18. God's wrath is being revealed against, sexual sin's one of them. It's happening. It will happen. I would recommend repenting before you meet God at your death. Repent to God from your way of thinking to the way He wants you to think. There are ways that God wants you to think. That's why we're talking about this morning. Recognize that. Accept that. Submit to that. And just simply say, Lord, my way of thinking is wrong. Because typically you and I have a mindset that says, it's my way or the highway, right? Nope. It's God's way. He's the only way. So you and I must repent to God's way of thinking. Our last point today is this. Here it is. People who make excuses do not know God fit in this list. Now, Paul goes into a list here in 28 to 32. He goes into a list. It's absolutely amazing. And so I'm just going to run it through the list to you, how it looks. And let's just see how you and I do with the list. So, again, it's in Romans 1. Verse 28. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so they do what ought not to be done. Look, people who make excuses to not know God, don't see it worthwhile to acknowledge God in their daily life. You wake up one day, you don't think about God the whole way through. That's what people make excuses. People who make excuses not to know God have an improper mind. That's a depraved mind. They have an improper mind and to do improper things. That's what they do. Their improper mind leads them to do improper things, okay? And people who make excuses not to know God are filled with unrighteous thoughts and actions, okay? Your mind is improper, so you're thinking of what kind of things? Improper things if you're making excuses not to get to know our Heavenly Father, and that will lead to improper actions. And we'll read again in verse 29. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips. And so people who make excuses not to know God are evil. They're actually separate from God. They're separate from God. People who make excuses not to know God are greedy. They're greedy. They want more, 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 more. And people who make excuses not to know God are envious of others. They'll look at other people's lives and they're jealous and they're envious and they want what they want. And so people who make excuses not to know God think about the death of others. You literally have in your mind the contemplation that you wish they were what? I wish they were dead. That's how they think. People who make excuses not to know God cause strife in relationships. They're causing problems in the relationships around them. Okay, if you find in your life that multiple relationships are having difficulty around you, you need to understand something. Who's the common denominator? It's you. And if you're making an excuse, you're going to cause strife in all your relationships. People make excuses not to know God are deceitful. They're deceitful. They have malice intent. They gossip. They gossip. And they slander as they lie about others. I'm going to keep reading in verse 30. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. So people make excuses not to know God are actually hateful towards God. They're hateful towards Him. Man, I can remember that time in my life when I was that way. I absolutely hated God. They show insolence and disrespect to God. They're arrogant. People make excuses to know God, think of ways to do evil. They think of ways, they lie in their bed or wherever they are, and they just think of ways to do evil, not good. People make excuses not to know God, are disobedient to their parents. Verse 31. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. So people who make excuses not to know God are without understanding. They refuse to understand what the Scripture says, and they don't have understanding. People who make excuses not to know God are untrustworthy. And the Bible says they have no fidelity. Fidelity means faithfulness. They are unfaithful people. They're unfaithful to the relationships around them. Maybe not just a marriage relationship, maybe any relationship. People who make excuses not to know God are unloving and do not show mercy to their fellow man. This is what probably gets me the most about the Christian, is that we look in the lives of other people and we're unloving and unmerciful towards them. Instead, we're just the opposite. But you and I as Christians, have we been shown mercy? Have we been shown grace? How could we not extend that to those who are in the absolute throes of sin? Verse 32. Although they knew God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. So people who make excuses not to know God give hearty approval to those who want to live like them. If they're willfully in sin, and they are, if they're willfully in sin and someone wants to follow their same sin pattern or lifestyle, they give hearty approval to it. Yep, that's fantastic. People who make excuses not to know God refuse to follow God's word. And according to the Apostle Paul, the Bible says if you refuse to follow God's word, what do you deserve? It says you deserve death. But praise God, there's a cure. There's a cure. There's a cure for our problems, okay? And some of you made the list, I'm sure of it, because I've made the list at times as well. And there's a cure. There's a cure. Here's a cure for people who make excuses to not know God if you fit in that list I just read. Here's a cure. Ready? It's this. Stop the excuses. Just stop it. Stop excuses and letting God's eternal power have rule over all your life. God, I want you to rule all my life. God, my health is yours. I don't care about my health, God. All I care is about you. My health is yours. God, my finances are yours. God, my sexuality is yours. God, I want all of your power in all of my life. It's all yours. No more rooming you off. It's all yours. Stop the excuses by denying God's divine nature is seeing the world around you. When you wake up in the morning, I can see the sunlight shining through the windows right now. You know what that reminds me of? What's it remind you of? The sun. Thank you. Yes. I'm glad a four-year-old could get it. The sun reminds you of the sun who shone in our lives and rescued us from the darkness of our sinful path. Repent from ungodly and unrighteous behavior today. You have ungodly and you have unrighteous behavior. How do I know that? Because you're upright and I see you and I'm not doing CPR on you. It means you're alive. You have ungodly and unrighteous behavior that you are doing. It's time to stop. Repent from it. Acknowledge that you have that in your life. Just be done with it. But you don't understand. I've tried and I've tried. Keep trying. Keep going back to God. Say, God, I don't know what's going on with me, but I want to be done with this. I'm so sick of it. I want to be done with this. Please help me, Lord. I just give you glory and praise and honor and thanks that I can repent to you and get grace. I'm just so grateful I get grace. And I guarantee that as you start focusing on the grace that you get to repent, you will find yourself moving further and further away from that ungodless and unrighteous behavior. It's going to happen. Stick with it. Choose to understand that God's wrath is coming for those who do not follow God's word. Think about that. Choose to understand that God's wrath is coming for those who do not follow God's word. When you look into people around you, how many people around you have issues? Good answer, all of us. And be gracious in how you treat people. Be kind to how you treat people. Yep, they're up their neck in sin. Be kind. You know, my mother does a great job of raising three boys. And And I know some of you gals here have had a chance to raise boys. Well, my mother had three boys on a farm. And we could tear up an anvil in a sandbox. I know we could. And we were the first ones on the bus, the first ones off the bus. So we had about an hour ride in the bus. So we had to get up on the bus pretty early. And my mom, I hate to bring up bad memories, but you remember how tough the 80s were? My mom worked, my dad worked. I mean, it was tough. It was just really hard times. And my mom, being the person that she is, she's very relational. And I think that's where I get some of my aspects from her. You know, I'm tearful at times because I really appreciate relationships. You know, I appreciate each of you because I'm in relationship with each of you. So I enjoy that. And so there was one time my brother and I, the bus came, and I don't know where mom was in the house. And when you're a little boy and the bus comes, how often do you think about kissing and hugging your mother? Very few. I mean, if you're one of those boys that did that, your mom really liked you. I'm telling you, she really appreciated you. I did not do that. My brother didn't do that. And so we got home that particular day, and I don't know what was going on with mom. Again, tough season of life. My mom's a very relational gal. And I can remember her telling my brother and I when we got home, you know what, you boys? You didn't say a word to me when you left the house to get in that bus. And I remember her saying these exact words. You didn't say kiss my foot or nothing. And looking back as a parent, I want my kids to say goodbye to me. I want my grandkids when they leave to hug me. I get that now. As a little boy, I did not get that. The next day, I'm the oldest. And so I did the best I could. And so before heading out the door, I wanted to follow through what mom said just the previous evening. Goodbye, Mom. I'm going to school. And my brother, John, make sure the name is clear. My brother, John. Bye, Mom. Kiss my foot. I've never seen my mother move so fast. She hopped out of that kitchen, wherever she was, and came flying out of the house after that boy. I guarantee he never said that again. He incurred the wrath of my mother in that moment. Well, here's what I'm trying to share with you. Who do you think instilled the value of relationships into my mother? The Lord did. And guess what our Lord desires to have with you? A relationship. And when you and I go throughout our day not acknowledging our God, not giving Him glory, not giving thanks to Him, we're saying, Lord, kiss my foot. And the only option He has for us is what? It's wrath. Oh, church, can't you see it? Our God desires to love you, hold you, give you grace, and give you mercy. And all we have to do is just repent from our way of thinking. It's all we got to do. And I guarantee that if my brother hadn't have said that, the outcome wouldn't have been what it was. Let's stand. I want to pray with you. And if you have a decision to make for Jesus, I don't know why today couldn't be it. If you're a woman in this room, want to talk to another woman, I know Deb will talk to somebody, my wife will. I know some other gals in the church love to talk. If you're a man and don't want to talk to me, I get it. There's another guy in this group. Guys, I'll point you in the right direction. But today's the day. Why not today? Father, we give you praise for Jesus. It's because of Jesus, Lord, we get the chance to repent, to know grace, to know mercy. I'm reminded of that Hebrews passage, Lord, it says that we can approach the throne of grace with confidence that we're going to be received with grace and mercy. And so, Lord, we forget that so many times, and the devil puts it in our head that we're the only one that deals with sin. That's so absolutely untrue. And so, Lord, help us not to buy the lie that the creation is more important than you. It's not. It's all about you, sweet Jesus. You're so kind, and your kindness leads us to repentance. And Lord, we are without excuse. Help us to give up our excuses today and every day. We pray this in your name. Amen. We're going to end today.
worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Jesus, we love you. We worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Spirit, we love you. We worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth.
Won't be much longer now, I promise you. Football party is next Sunday here at church, 5 p.m. Bring your favorite foods to share. We're going to have a football game on the screen, so I want to encourage you to be part of that if you want to. Prayer Sunday is today. And we're also having an April 1st, no fooling, a fun marriage workshop. That'll be fun, so I want to encourage you to be part of that. The bulletin was out of date as soon as it got printed, so to add on the prayer list side of things, on your Wednesday on prayer concerns, we're praying for the Shelley Barnett family, so be praying for them. Also praying for Jason's family with Will, be praying for them. And I'm missing somebody else. Who am I missing on there? Brad Pickering family, be praying for them because he was placed on hospice. Yes, Deb? Be praying for them. Okay, we'll do that. So if you don't mind, if you can't stay for Sunday school time and pray with us, grab a sheet of paper with a February prayer calendar. And what we're going to do now in our Sunday school time is just break off into small groups and be praying. So it's really a really pleasant time. So anyway, thank you for coming. Good to see you. Have a great week.